everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Today I've been visiting nature. We've been driving around national centers, national preserves of nature. We saw some beautiful landscapes. We saw swampy areas on the coastline. It was absolutely beautiful. I've never seen a nature of that kind. This kind of swampy transition between the sea and forest. It's amazing to see what nature does with this when it's left alone. You see trees that have been dead for years. They still stand there because they've been probably flooded, or they lack oxygen because there were seasons of too much water, and they stand there like dead trees, like skeletons of trees in a swamp. The nature is really beautiful, and there are some phenomenons with coastlines and vegetation that are quite unique. I've seen trees that have grown totally adapted to the wind, and the trees are completely asymmetric. And it's not just that they broke their branches on one side. The trees you can see have grown with the wind, presumably because coastline are a place of where the wind is constantly in the same direction. And the vegetation was extremely luscious. There were hills of beautiful, beautiful grass like I've rarely seen before. And there were colors of other types of vegetation that were coming in, like brownish purple. And it was really kind of an enchanted forest type of aesthetics, a little bit like an Avatar, if you will. It was almost purple like Avatar, but not quite. I really enjoyed this traveling while Russia is advancing toward the U.S. because Vladimir is pissed that the U.S. is now officially giving weapons to Ukraine and officially giving permissions to strike within Ukraine. We'll talk about this. I'm super excited about the Odyssey progress. Odyssey is coming soon to North Korea and China. Our new tech called Arweave makes us invincible. I like the name of it. So if they called it Arweave, it means Odyssey is getting prepared for massive multi-streaming P2P. Everyone is both a listener and a streamer at the same time. A weave in networks means something very powerful. It means potentially you're going to receive the stream, I guess. I'm guessing. I don't have any insight with Odyssey. I don't talk to the technical team. But presumably, if they call it a weave, this must be some kind of torrenting technology where everyone is sending bits to everyone else, and everyone is checking bits for everyone else. Barnaby Buto says, "Are we the file-storing crypto project?" Well, it does seem that it is tied to an already existing project, but maybe they've just taken this project and they've extrapolated it to the streaming world. I don't know exactly. Maybe it will just be uploads. In any case, the idea of having a data weave where nothing is blockable, where if you don't have it from a certain server, you can have it from another server, that is all extremely interesting. YouTuber Alex Choi charged for allegedly filming two women shoot fireworks at a Lamborghini from an helicopter. Apparently, you can't do this, so they had fireworks, they equipped it on an helicopter, and the goal was to kind of simulate a bombardment of a Lamborghini. And the Jay-Z song was on, and the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hands up to play my song, the butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah, moving my hips like yeah. Got my hands up to play my song, we know I'm gonna be okay, yeah. Well, apparently that is illegal. I don't know what will be the charges. Handling of explosives for assault purposes, but what if the person consented in the car? I don't know. We'll see what happens with this, but it looks like charges will be pressed. Trump says that Israel needs to finish the job, and this is exactly why I fully agree with Nick Fuentes. We shouldn't be enthusiastic at all about the Trump presidency. It will be a presidency totally in line with the system, totally in line with the deep state. Trump is not going there this time with any sort of promise of undermining the deep state. And you're going to have, if anything, more of a powerful deep state. Because Biden, you know, say what you want about him. He doesn't openly stand with the genocide of Gaza. At least he gives it a little pushback. Trump is totally like, oh yeah, they need to finish the job more clearly. It needs to be totally won, totally.
So, number one, they have to finish the job. Israel has to finish that job. They have to finish it quickly, strongly, and they have to get back to life again because it's taking too long. They have to finish the job.
You're saying go in?
It's taking too long to commit a genocide. Well, so what he's saying is commit it stronger. You know, ethnic cleanse a little faster.
Win and finish.
Gotta win.
Gotta win. There's no possibility of losing.
October 7th.
There's good real estate in there. We need to get in and rebuild the real estate.
And it's getting more and more demeaned. They're demeaning it. I have people now telling me they don't think the attack ever happened. And
so now he's fully siding with the Jews on, oh my God, denial of October 7th. Oh my God, this is such conspiracies. So this is symbolic because, yeah, sure, October 7th happened for sure. It's a fact. Now, whether you want to argue, okay, there was improper behavior on the Israeli side, sure. But you can't deny October 7th happened physically. So it's a symbolic approach. But still, within this symbolism, what is Trump saying? He's saying, I'm fully siding with the Jews here.
And take a look. You watch the news reports.
I have the 50 minutes of video.
Sure, I know you do, and so do I. But here's the thing. You watch these people on television, and then just like you have Holocaust deniers also, they say the Holocaust never took. It's the exact same people. They're saying it never happened. AOC plus three. You know, Israel was the most powerful lobby in the country 15 years ago. Today, between Tlaib and AOC and all of these people, what they're doing, Israel, they don't have the backing that they once had.
You'll give it to them.
Yeah, I'm good. But
he's saying I'm good. He's saying straight out to the Jews listening, I'm good. I'm on your side. Look at the other side. They're the ones who can't help but integrate anti-Semites in their ranks. And yes, AOC plus three is now basically code word for the anti-Semitic crew of the Democrat Party, people who have gone so far left that they are against the Israeli interest. Trump here is running a very different campaign from 2016, which in a way kind of means that he's probably going to win. Jewish interest in America wins. It always wins. So Trump here will probably win and will then probably be owing a lot to Jewish interest. This is the nature of Trump. He's been oscillating. He has no principles on this question. He's been oscillating because in the 90s he was all for the Jews. The other candidate is an anti-Semite. In 2016, he was saying to the Jews, I don't want your money. You're not going to like me. And basically, he over-signaled basically his anti-Semitism in 2016 because really, he didn't do anything horrible for the Jews. Between 2016 and 2020, he was totally in line with them, gave them the airstrikes that they were demanding in Syria, gave them some symbolic moves of embassies, blah, blah, blah. So he basically, he lives in the world of signaling, and he told so hard to the Jews that this would be America first from now on, and we would not join endless wars anymore, that he may have actually received a bigger slap from the Jewish establishment that he actually deserved, because in reality, he's not done anything against Jewish interests. And now he's back to fully, openly, and explicitly signaling his support of Jewish interests.
They don't have the backing. Even Schumer has become like a Palestinian. Chuck Schumer, Jewish, always strong for Israel. He's become like a Palestinian.
So now Chuck Schumer, a representative of, say, Jewish power within American politics, now Chuck Schumer is almost like a Palestinian. And Palestinians are almost all terrorists, so Chuck Schumer is almost like a terrorist. Chuck Schumer is 2 degrees of separation from a terrorist. How? It's ridiculous. Trump is trying so hard to please to the Jewish lobby that he's saying absolute nonsense. Anan says Schumer isn't Jewish enough for Donald. And yes, you know, DK Shadows says, oh no, he's not a Palestinian. It's like, well, that within Jewish power in American politics, it's basically Palestinian, terrorist, Arab, it's all one thing. Really, it's their code word to talk about race in a way that they don't allow others to talk about race. But really, they are at war with the Arab world. That is what Israel is. They've been at war with the Arab world forever. And when they say, oh, he's almost like a Palestinian, it's almost like using a racial slur. Everyone knows what they're talking about. It's those evil people, those backward people. But that's what they mean and that's what they hear. But it's their way of doing it with a way of denying, plausible denial, that they're not really talking about race. They're just talking about the specific terrorist in Palestine.
Called for elections in the middle of a war.
Yeah, it's a very bad thing. It's a very sad thing, and it's a very dangerous thing. But if you look, so many people,
like who cares about a call for election in the middle of a war, because some Democrats are uncomfortable with Bibi Netanyahu. No one cares about these things except someone who is needing to kneel to the Jewish lobby, and that is Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen, probably the president starting next February. So I believe he will win, but I believe it will cement Jewish power within the Republican Party. Jewish power has always been very comfortable playing the Republican side, just like they've been comfortable playing the Democrat side. You know, the whole era of from George Bush to Barack Obama just shows this. The Jews don't care. They will recruit a Republican president to launch some wars in the Middle East. They will recruit a black leftist president to just continue the cleaning with drone bombardments and continue the wars that are already initiated. That's what they've been doing. They don't mind going back through the cycle, going back to a Trump, who Trump could probably initiate a war within 4 years. I haven't heard Trump talk about endless wars in this election. So are we headed toward endless wars again? Are we headed toward a war with Russia? Perhaps. I don't know that under Trump we stay in a peaceful situation. All right, what else do we have? Nick Fuentes was... I totally agree with what he has to say here.
I love Trump. I'm loyal to Trump. I support Trump. But I am not yet committed to voting at all in this election. And isn't that the same logic that Trump employed in 2016? when Trump said that he would not commit to supporting the eventual nominee if he didn't win.
Mr. Trump. So, Mr. Trump, to be clear, you're standing on a Republican primary.
I fully understand.
The place where the RNC will give the nominee the nod.
I fully understand.
And that experts say an independent run would almost certainly hand the race over to Democrats and likely another Clinton. You can't say tonight that you can make that pledge.
I cannot say. I have to respect the person that, if it's not me, the person that wins. But I'm, you know, talking about a lot of leverage.
He said, I'm talking about a lot of leverage. Well, to the extent that I have some leverage, I'm going to exercise it. I am someone that has supported Trump for 8 years, but I want my followers to know, and I want Trump to know, if the message gets to him, that I don't know that I will turn out. I certainly won't be enthusiastic if we're going to get Trump plus Nikki Haley and Rick Grenell and all these swamp creatures like Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott, if we're going to get another First Step Act, if we're going to get a war with Iran, we have to set some parameters.
I've been treated very unfairly. I'll give you an example.
Unfairly by who?
I think by basically the RNC, the Republican Party, the establishment.
Where were they in 2015? They were supporting every other candidate other than Trump.
All right. I fully agree with Nick Fuentes here. And as far as the current election, if it doesn't change, if we don't get new announcement from Trump, radical change in the way he speaks and in what he commits to, as far as I'm concerned, I wash my hands of the 2024 American election. I wash my hand. I don't give a shit who gets elected. The two options are bad. The two options will bring America in a very bad direction. But I have a little pinch to the heart when my objective analysis is that maybe I should even support Biden. Because I don't know, Biden just talks a little bit against what Israel is doing. I feel that Biden would kind of hesitate to attack Iran. And I'm not sure that Trump would. Perhaps the dangerous Trump that has been paranoid and imagined by the left, as far as his commitments went in 2016, perhaps the dangerous Trump is the Trump of today. A Trump who likes to threaten, who likes to advance, who likes to tickle and say, oh yeah, we're going to strike you, Vladimir Putin. Perhaps that's a dangerous Trump to have. In a desperate country with internal problems, a growth of the state, a growth of demographics that are basically in the need of dying, and therefore a situation that never before, that's like never before in terms of the thirst for war, the thirst to send our entire male population to go die in a useless war against an enemy that we don't even need to beat. You know, I hate Biden, but it's kind of weird that I have to actually bias my own internal thinking to make a case for Trump. I have to say, oh, well, you know, Trump is going to give us a good running economy. Trump is going to operate a little better on immigration. I have to make these arguments, and I shouldn't. I should be totally enthusiastic for Trump because it should be easy for Trump to get my support because he got it before. And he's one of the best presidents we've had in a long time. How is it that he can't even charm me? And what does that tell you about how he will charm the American people? I don't know. Russian warships steam for Caribbean as Ukraine tensions go global. So basically what I was speculating about, there will be something like the Cuban Missile Crisis, because now you have official positioning of the US that says, yes, Ukraine, we are giving you weapons, and yes, we are giving you the permission to use it inside Russian territory. And yes, we can approve targets for you, and we will give you the intelligence. I mean, at this point, how is that not war? If you do all of the steps toward striking a territory. Like if Russia did the same with missiles being sent by South Africa into North Dakota, it seems that it wouldn't just be the fault of South Africa. It seems that the U.S. would then go at war with South Africa, Russia, and anyone who's been participating to the chain of causality. Well, now it's what Russia is doing. They are sending ships using international waters because, yeah, you can get very close to the U.S., as it turns out, by international law. And you can have these destroyers on platforms or these warships. In this case, they will be sending some warships to demonstrate the capacity to project naval power globally. And to basically show the American people and the American political class, are you sure you want to have this kind of hidden war conflict with us? Because we're going to have our warships hanging out very close to your borders. And, you know, with the Dagger type of missile that they've made, it seems that a destroyer in the Caribbean could easily strike potentially any target without much of a flight, any target within the U.S. in a way that is not defendable by conventional anti-air measures. If what they say about the Dagger missile is true, it is an unstoppable nuclear bomb headed to... You can say, oh... You can see it on the radar, but apparently it totally evades the defense capacities that humanity knows about. So there is no known way to stop these daggers because they are intelligent devices that can totally change linear direction. They are not just things that are launched and then fall onto the position. They are actively powered and they basically can fly. And they can fly at very high speeds. So we would have Russia within striking capacity, striking distance, and apparently no defense against other than sinking all their boats and trying to target all their planes as they lift off. But that we probably wouldn't be able to neutralize everything all at the same time at all times. There would probably be holes in the armor. So it's not a desirable situation. There is no interest for America to do this, to get into this war. It's going to be the saddest war. It's going to continue to proxies, probably Iran first. And then perhaps open conflict with Russia at some point in the decades to come. All of it causing human suffering for two nations that are totally fine on their own and that don't need to go at each other. And it's really just the greediness of the American political class that's causing this war. The greediness in wanting to control things up to Ukraine, where Ukraine has been understood as a traditionally Russian part of the world that wasn't part of Russia anymore, but that still was culturally Russian. So we're basically talking about the imperialism of an elite political class that's on a quest of vengeance against the Russians that is deciding to make America pay for this quest of vengeance. We have to start saying no, and what we need to say no is a candidate like Trump in 2016. But Trump of 2024 is not saying no. Trump of 2024 may very well be the man who presses the button on a nuclear strike against Russia, and who does it because he's warned Vladimir before. He said to Vladimir, if you get into Ukraine, I'm going to send a nuclear bomb onto Moscow. It would be very sad to see all this real estate destroyed. Well, there you go. You might get Trump to do it, and you might have a bloodthirsty enough Jewish contingent of American politics that is actually so enthusiastic about this that they will side with their enemy. They will side with Trump, who they used to hate. But they don't hate Trump as much at this point now that he's kneeling. They don't hate him as much as they hate Biden for being such a party pooper for the Gazan genocide. I mean, it's... I just can't believe the archness of the words that come out of my mouth to just describe the current situation. It's actually quite shocking because the world was kind of peaceful. 2016, the world was kind of peaceful to 2018, 2019. And all things went to shit when Trump didn't get reelected. And then the Russian to Ukraine stuff, and then the meddling of the U.S. political class in Ukraine, which had started back in 2014. It sucks that we are in this situation. Balloon Nut sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account if you'd like to send super chats. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Balloon Nut sends a super chat. He says, regarding Steve Saylor and HBD, a guy I knew several years ago went back to being a Republican. When asked about the differences between races, he said they're so small that they can be smoothed out with education. Steve Saylor exists to produce pseudoscience for this reason. He's a paid gatekeeper. Absolutely. I am unforgiving when the intellectual class presents things that I know to be intellectual traps. And it's an intellectual trap to just, even if otherwise you say everything in line, even if otherwise you were to say exactly what I say, if on one point you start saying, oh, well, you know, in this case, in the case of the difference between the blacks of Africa and the blacks of the US, this is due to the environment. If you say this without giving me proof that would change my view, you are setting an intellectual trap for the future, because if it's the environment here, then what are we waiting for? Let's increase everyone's IQ by 15 points. The American environment is absolutely wonderful. Like, what are we waiting for? And if such an environment exists and we've built it accidentally, imagine what we could do if we were to actually intend to increase people's IQ. And then you enter the state takeover of education, the state takeover of parental responsibility, and you're actually starting already to evolve away from high IQ because you just created a relation of dependence and parasitism. She was beautiful before. Apparently, this girl got a sex change. Let's see. Man, it is so sad when girls of high beauty, they destroy their beauty totally. Oh my God, are you kidding me? You're just that regular guy with bleached hair. Oh, this is so sad. You could be a princess. You could be an object of love and dedication for a man. You choose to be this. Now you're just a rando who will end up homeless on the streets or trying to learn to play guitar but not getting it right. Holy shit. So sad. I can kind of understand the trans phenomenon to female. That I can understand because, yes, it's pretty hard to be a male. Life is rough for men, and you know, you kind of understand the desirability of the female state. But the people who do the other way around, there is really no rational explanation for it. You can't even invoke the desirability of being males Oh my God. If they were, in fact, the more regular they would look as males, the more they, what they report is they realize, holy shit, I didn't know it was like this to be male. Everyone ignores me. Like, I don't exist for people. No one cares about me. And they feel so alone when they become males. It's like, welcome to the club, bro. I'm happy to have one more male colleague with whom I can shake hand and not care about. DK Shadow says, why would woman want to play on nightmare mode? Exactly. Like, males, the thing with males is there is a 1% of the male population that gets it kind of easy. And I would include myself with this, you know. I am an extremely lucky man. The eyes are turned toward me. I have wealth. I have survival capabilities. I have family. I have love. I have a stunning supermodel girlfriend. But that is 1% of the males. 99% of the males, they have lives. You could spit on them. It wouldn't make their lives worse. Censored Man says, Israel is literally flooding X with bots. Elon Musk, these people are literally botting your platform. Do you seriously want us to give our government-issued IDs and biometric data to Israeli intelligence in return for monetization? Hundreds of fake accounts posing as real Americans. It's been going on forever on the internet that psy-ops, gay ops are happening. We've been knowing them. We've been exposing some of them. Most of them probably just go unnoticed. And the problem is when it starts impacting the narrative of what happened. Like, when we were all banned, and when we were all banned from Twitter, and we were coming back to Twitter with, you know, with accounts of our friends, or we were updating Twitter on the public feed, what we saw is a Twitter that had veered pro-vaccine, pro-Ukraine. I mean, people had a Ukraine flag in their bio, and they had a vaccine syringe in their bio, and I was laughing my ass off because I was like, there's some unnatural engagement happening here. They totally, you know, shaved us off from the public space, and they're reinventing a public space that will eventually lead to a narrative. The narrative that, oh yeah, everyone is for COVID. Oh yeah, everyone is for Ukraine. It sucked, and it's going to keep happening. Elon must be more careful, because it's easy to start going after the bots. But never forget, there are sides of the conflict that have more skills in fooling your bot detection, and they're going to end up dominating the narrative. So I totally support the efforts of debotting X, of making sure that people are true people, true humans. But be careful and be just about it, because I'm sure that Israel, Ukraine, warmongering and terrorists, they're all set up for their next campaign. It is so scary being in America right now. Let's see what this woman has to say. Is it me, or the TikTok videos we're getting are getting more based with time? Like, we used to have some very low-level leftism coming out of TikTok, and now it's like woman realizing the importance of man, or...
Why is everything so expensive? Why am I making more money?
Oh, it's another normie squeeze video.
...than I would make using my college degree. I barely have a life. I have 2 days off, and I work Wednesday to Sunday, doubling just to pay my bills. At 22 years...
Yeah, you didn't evolve to work like this. You should look for a husband, remove this cancer hair band, and find a husband.
Years old, all of my bills are in my name. I have no help.
You shouldn't have bills in your name.
How are y'all affording housing? In Myrtle Beach, a one-bedroom apartment is $1,500. Bullshit! bullshit.
Well, yeah, you're buying these apartments. That's your problem.
How are you?
Leather seats. Leather seats. Shrug my mail says leather seats. We have detected leather seats, ladies and gentlemen. It never fails. The people who complain about prices have made a decision 3 years ago when they bought their car to pay by payment. And you know how much you pay for these leather seats? I mean, it's incredible. She's probably paying something like $30 a month for these fucking leather seats. You know how you could have $30 more per month? Don't have leather seats, lady. You have to adopt the JF position when you meet the car salesman. You look at him in the eye. The coldest, more precise. You know the movie with the black hair guy who says, flip the coin. Flip it now. And then he says, keep it, it's your lucky coin. You have to look at the car salesman with your eyes wide open and you say, I want no option. And then you just stare at him. And he's going to be like, well, sir, let me tell you about... I do want to tell you about the options that you're missing out on. And you say, I don't want those options. I want to buy the car right now. Cash. I'm ready to take it. When can I take it? I want no option. I want it as is. DK Shadow says, no option. You have to practice this ritual. I've done this 2 times in my life, buying a fully new car with no options. No extended warranty. I like to live life at the edge.
Are y'all getting insurance, going to the doctor, getting medicine? And then some of us are trying to be TikTok influencers. Who knows where that's going to get me? Me and my boyfriend are saving, but we barely see each other during the week. And it feels like we're working our...
Ah, well, there you go. You have a boyfriend. You don't live with him, or you live with him on a rented basis in an overly crowded place. So the rent goes high. Marry your boyfriend. Live a simpler life in a simpler place. And don't be a wage slave. You're just slaving away time of your life. And visibly, you're not accumulating any sort of money or comfort. So it's all a loss of your time and energy to have these leather seats and SUV.
Our asses off for nothing. Do we need to move somewhere for a better...
Yes, you need to move. You need to open up the real estate websites. Search across the U.S. lowest house price. Then you set the number of square feet that you'd be interested in. And you pull the filter down and you say sort by lowest to highest. And whatever is the first house that shows, you check the demographics of this place. You determine if you're likely to die living there. If you're likely to die, get to the second option. Then calculate your odds of dying. Are you likely to get murdered in this place? Get to the third option if you are. And eventually you will end up in a white countryside place where you shouldn't die and you'll be able even to afford that house perhaps in a single payment, cash. No SUV, no loans, no mortgage. Go there and make babies with your boyfriend. Female Star Wars showrunners putting a crackling campfire in space is the kind of thing that happens when you get rid of mansplaining. I had shown the video of a totally unrealistic space fire yesterday. I mean, this is not how space fires happen. And I like the explanation of this guy. He's saying it's because not enough mansplaining. Maybe when you abolish mansplaining, there are prices to pay. One of them is you get very, very cheap cinema. Nature's Dude says, can headband cause cancer or did it just look like shit? I think you put the headband because you have cancer and you want to hide that you have cancer and that you lost your hair. I don't think that the headband gives you the cancer, although it's so ugly that perhaps it does. Elon Musk is bringing us some real pictures of space. That's how it looks when his Starship re-enters the atmosphere. Look at this. The waves of powerful wind. Elon Musk says Starship re-entering like a meteor. My God. The waves of light that we see and the bending of winds. And there's probably a lot of heat. Yes, hot stuff, says DK Shadow. In fact, here's a video, apparently. I mean, it's very hard to bring back a rocket from space because it's confronted with so much heat. Look at this.
It does appear that we have a little bit of burn through there. We can see pieces of the vehicle flying off. What a show it has been. It's been like watching Interstellar or something.
This is wild to see this, but the ship is still coming down.
It's amazing you can have a camera in such a critical moment. I mean, their little wing there is totally being busted and catching fire.
We've been saying it multiple times. Our teams are sitting.
And now the camera gets so blurry you don't quite see. John Drake says, how is this reusable? Well, yeah, I mean, the goal is to eventually have a fully reusable Starship. I don't think they're at this point. I think they're at the point of massive improvements every time, and they diagnose the problems. They've been changing the engine system at some point. I don't know to what extent they are recycling the current Starships, but it's certainly needing in much repair. But the idea is if you do this 100 times, 200 times, you learn a lot, and perhaps Elon will have learned so much that SpaceX will be the only basically group of humans capable of doing this eventually. Wall Street Journal is releasing a normie video about Bitcoin.
If you bought one Bitcoin in 2019 at $4,000, it'd be worth over $70,000 right now, a 1,700%.
They then go into, well, if you had bought here, you would have lost this much money. What happened in between? And then they go through the whole COVID crisis and the whole inflation discussion. It's a 5-minute video. I didn't learn much from it. 334 Michiganders registered to vote after their deaths. Group tells a court. I don't know what will be the status of this in the 2024 election. Will we have doubts around the legitimacy of the election system? Last election, there was such a crushing through censorship of any doubts. But now we have liberty. Perhaps YouTube would still crush, but we have X, we have Odyssey. So there might be, and we have Rumble that is rising as an alternative streaming platform, especially among the MAGA crowds. We might have a very different conversation that can happen around the legitimacy of the election. And Real Base Talk says there are doubts after every election. Yeah, I mean, it's America is such, it's so sad. Because, yeah, if I was in America, if I was in the U.S., I wouldn't trust my fellow citizens. Some dirty things can happen in this country. And the problem is who is going to know if a bunch of far leftists in the most far left places of America are just messing up the count and playing with the count to advantage themselves, and trust is absolutely not there. And the system, Lendl Guntram, it's intentionally designed to fail. Yeah, the system is just not leading to much trust. In Canada, I have some massive trust in the system, at least the box system, where bucks are marked, bucks are filmed, Boxes are followed at all time by representative of each party, and they are numbered on the outside and they are sealed. And in the US, it's such a mess. Everything is different across states. And then you have the whole voting from home system that I just don't trust at all, neither in Canada nor in the US. We might have a big crisis in 2024. I never want to witness a Hollywood production after this monstrosity. Oh my God. Public service announcement by Hollywood stars against Trump.
You have an obligation
to be a part of that decision.
You might think it's not important. You might think you're not important.
But that's not true.
And the only way we can prove that to you is by having lots of famous people.
Lots of famous people.
Lots and lots of famous people.
Just a shit ton of famous people.
But you only get this many famous people together.
It's so morally condescending. We got lots of famous people to tell you an important message. Lots and lots of fucking famous people. Lots and lots and lots of fucking famous people. Okay. Famous people in 2024 have lost any sort of credibility. So I don't even think this has an impact anymore. It's really moral displays for the sake of it. Celebs against Trump, TikTok. Holy shit.
Other of the issues.
One that truly matters to all of us.
A disease or
ecological crisis or
a racist, abusive coward who could permanently damage the fabric of our society.
Oh my God, you got the black man to call Trump a racist. There you go. It's like the legitimacy of it. You got a black man to say the final pronouncement on Trump, a racist who can destroy the fabric of society. In a massive victory for the former president, the Georgia Court of Appeals indefinitely pauses election subversion case against Trump. Among all of the legal harassment cases against Trump, one seems to be on the ice indefinitely. Interesting. And people are discussing the GameStop craze because Roaring Kitty has announced that he would be streaming tomorrow, and it launched GameStop into another rise. So GameStop peaked, went down, and then is now going up. So people are starting to be investigated because there might very well be some criminal stuff happening. There are people who are pissed at the fact that investigations are happening, and they're arguing that there shouldn't be such things. Personally, I think there must have been something criminal happening in the GameStop stuff, simply because it's artificial, it's paid for. Clearly someone bought Andrew Tate to make this 24-hour publicity around GameStop. So, of course, Andrew Tate doesn't have to say this because he's in Romania. But if players in the US have initially bought GameStop and caused this publicity to be purchased through any means, then insider trading has been happening. And insider trading doesn't need to be inside the company. Clearly, they have acted on privileged information that they had that wasn't public. So unless they've made the little, unnoticed tweets, you know, one trick to protect yourself against insider trading is to actually tweet the information publicly. But now, they didn't tweet the information publicly. They tweeted that they were, Roaring Kitty, for example, tweeted that he was in GameStop and that he still had a long in GameStop. That's one thing, but that's after the fact. If you really want to protect yourself against insider trading allegations, you have to actually tweet in advance that you're going to buy the Andrew Tate publicity. And you have to do it. Perhaps you do it from a small Twitter account so that you can argue, oh, well, I said it publicly. And then there's like two reposts and one like on the tweet. So no one ever saw the tweet, but at least you said it publicly. But the way it was done, what I suspect has happened is that some players, maybe Roaring Kitty, but maybe others, created an artificial wave of interest into GameStop and did so with payment of crypto toward Andrew Tate. And, you know, I'm sympathetic toward Andrew Tate, no hate against him, and I don't think that on his side he has violated the law. But he may have been recruited through people who have violated the law, who have done insider trading with a meme stock. So meme stock investor Keith Gill is under regulatory scrutiny after his massive stake in GME was revealed. Former SEC enforcement brand chief Lisa Braganka discusses. I think the way it's going to end, if the American authorities are truly alarmed and want to find what it is, I think it's going to end up being a case of insider trading through crypto payments for a meme campaign around GameStop, in which the insiders got in long before anyone knew that there was going to be the Andrew Tate memetics around it. It's mind-boggling. Los Angeles hit with surge of fire hydrant theft. Just when you think the Democrats' socialist utopia state of California can't possibly sink any higher, it does just that. First, it was catalytic converters. Now it's fire hydrants. It's mind-boggling that someone would just come into a neighborhood and just steal a fire hydrant. Apparently, it's for the black market for scrap metal. So metal has become too rare. People steal it, and any weight of metal you can get to melt is valuable. This guy is pretty annoying. This is a guy who has fully integrated the female mentality of dating, and you'll see it in his nagging and in his, just listen to him.
Males will complain to no end about how women reject them or women don't pay attention to them, or say that women only go for the top 10% of men and that's why they don't have any luck. Meanwhile, every single interaction they have with a woman is dripping with a lack of sexual discipline and emotional regulation. You treat women as objects of sexual satisfaction and nothing else. And then when they reject you for that, you freak out and lose your mind and blame everyone but yourself. And because you can't admit this to yourself due to insecurity and your ego not being...
See, up to now, what he said, okay, there are men who speak too dark. And of course, you can't... You can't charm a woman with dark speech. You have to display confidence. And if you open up about being depressed around your social rejection, that's a no-no. There's never a woman who will love you. Up to now, it's kind of good counseling, but his interpretation, it's because of your insecurities. No, it's just that people need to be coached that depressive speech is not a way to charm a woman, period.
Being able to take it, you start coming up with all these explanations as to why women don't want you.
Oh, well, ultimately, the explanation is there is no monogamous regime that is socially imposed in our society. If there was monogamy imposed in society, every woman would have to be with a man, and it would be their husband. Therefore, every man would have a woman also. It's a mathematical fact. Non-monogamy causes incestism.
Oh, feminism is ruining women. That's why.
Well, it is also, but that's actually just a side point. Ultimately, it's the monogamous regime. It's not even feminism. Feminism could be under one form or another, can lead people toward non-monogamy, but it's the non-monogamy that's the problem.
Why I can't get one? So let me make it very clear to you.
See, that's a woman. Only women speak like this. Let me, mister, make it very clear to you. It's such an annoying speech. How is it that every woman feels the need to speak like this? I never felt the need to speak like this. I mean, it would be a joke if I spoke like this. Like I would say, King Anus, I see you on the regular chat. Let me explain to you something, sir. That would be, maybe I would play out sassiness. But this guy is actually sassy.
You are the problem. And until you...
And this is... finding individual guilt in a social phenomenon. It's not even a statement of fact. You say it so confidently with your finger. You are the problem. Has it ever occurred to you that there is not even a conception of guilt philosophically possible in a societal situation? That it is neither, it's not the fault of the incel, nor even the fault of the woman who's not with him. That ultimately it's a system of causality that stems from the collective action of all of mankind. Has it ever occurred to you that the concept of guilt is not even a natural concept? That it only really makes sense when you're talking about crimes, and even then, it's not even a factual matter, but a moral one? Has it ever occurred to you that we could be in a situation in a society that has not been caused by single individuals, but rather by the collective direction? No, he says it so confidently, you are the problem. Only a deluded woman speaks like this.
You can admit that and work on yourself. You're going to find yourself in the exact same place you are now.
If you work on yourself, what he seems to define to be work on yourself is basically adopting, kneeling to female morality. That's what this guy did. Now, it may help you pick up the hippie in a university town who wants to have a one-night stand. I'm sure this guy is deluded into thinking that he's being successful with his leftism. But you know what? Talk to me again, bro. Do another TikTok video when you have a loyal woman who has 5 children with you and who stayed with you. Talk to me then. Because your dating advice right now is absolutely, it has zero value. Because we don't know that you have even succeeded at claiming. We don't know that you have even succeeded at what you claim to be a good counselor on. You may live in the delusion of the hippie pussy. This delusion is when you are in these leftist areas with a surplus of you know, single females. You end up realizing that talking female, thinking female, gets you a lot of females. And you end up deluding yourself, thinking that you are an ace of the dating world. But the reality is each of these hoes that you fuck are just entertaining the delusion in your head, but they wouldn't be there when it comes the time to build a family. Or if they do get a baby from you, they will divorce you like the leftists that they are. So good luck, but come back to us when you are more of a man, and when you are a father, and let us know how it goes to be thinking female. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. This will be an amazing game, says Ramsey Paul. Former World of Warcraft devs start studio where only female staffer is a dog. Well, some females identify as dogs, apparently.